Rashi has the famous quote from the Medrash. Rashi makes Medrash very famous, that Korach was making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu's psak, that he was arguing based on common sense that what Moshe Rabbeinu says doesn't make any sense. That if you have a beged, a four-cornered beged, and you have to put tzitzis in each one of the corners, and you put one string of tchelus in each corner, and that does the trick. So if the whole beged is made from tchelus, so you shouldn't need any tchelus in the whole beged. So if you have a room that's used for secular purposes, a dining room, a living room, a bedroom, you put one mezuzah, so that satisfies making the room holy. So if the room is full of svarim, the room is full of sifrei Torah, Nevi'im, Aksum, so what do you need a mezuzah for? The whole room is full of sifrei Kodesh. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you need a mezuzah, you need tchelus in the corner. So the argument of Moshe Rabbeinu, the argument of Korach, was based on common sense. And that's Rav Soloveitchik has a famous drosha, that this was the common sense rebellion of Korach against Moshe Rabbeinu. Balabatim, a lot of times, who are not attuned to halacha, think that the rabbi's psak doesn't make sense. Common sense dictates that it should be otherwise. This is how the Ramban writes on Chumash. The pasuk says we have to listen to the psak of the Bez Nagodol. So the simple translation of the Sifrei's comment means even if the Bez Nagodol made a mistake, the psak is binding even though it's an error. So the Ramban says it can't be. We mentioned that that was really the theme of the Kane Mutiny. Harman Wook taught here in Yeshiva for a year. So he told the students that the theme of the Kane Mutiny was that authority is binding even when it's an error, and the book was based on that Rashi. Rashi and Chumash quotes that comment from the Tanoim. So one of the students told them that, sorry to break your heart, but that's the Pshat and Rashi. Authority is not binding when it's an error. That's what the Ramban is, the first one from the Rishonim and Achreinim discussing. How could it be? Al min shu smal vas moshim, in the first Mishnah in Hori, he says, if the Bez Nagodol gives a psak, and somebody knows, a balabas knows that they made a mistake, he's not allowed to follow their psak. The psak is only binding on the assumption that they're not making the mistakes. So what is the takamin al min shu smal vas moshim? So the different suggestions. So the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvos is the first of the Rishonim to raise this issue. And you look in the Tshuvos of the Melamed Lehoil, the three halakim. Melamed Lehoil was written by Rabbi David Zvi Hoffman. He was the top Rebbe in the Hildesheim Seminary in Berlin. And after he retired, he was an old man. After he retired, then Weinberg took over the Sri Diesh. They overlapped for a while. Then the Sri Diesh was almost killed by the Nazis, and he survived the war and so on. He died 45 years ago. So Rav David Zvi Hoffman has the three halakim of his tshuvas. So at the end of the third chelik, they have a few miscellaneous topics that are not really tshuvas, and this is one of them. How do you deal with this contradiction? He points out that Ramban and Sefer HaMitzvos is the first one to ask the kasha, and he gives you Mar Mekaymus, which of the Rishonim and Achreinim talk about the kasha. So the Ramban explains in Sefer HaMitzvos that the correct girsa in the Sifrei should be afila nirim b'yeinecha yimin shuhu smol al smol sheyimin. If the psak of the Bez Nagodol is really an error, then it's not binding. But nirim b'yeinecha, if the layman thinks that the rabbi made a mistake, he thinks he made a mistake because it does make sense. But the layman doesn't know Yerideya, he doesn't know Shulchan Aruch. He should have a munas chachamim to assume that the rabbi paskin correctly. Nirim b'yeinecha, a lot of times the doctor prescribes a medication for a patient, and someone else hears it, they think that's a joke, that's ridiculous. That medication is for different sickness. It doesn't work for this sickness, and the symptoms are different. The layman don't know medicine. The layman don't know medicine. They don't know chemistry. They don't know physics, and they don't know halacha. You have to have every discipline has a self-contained logic. So you have to know this system of thinking of that discipline. So in halacha also, there's a self-contained logic. A balbos going to ask akasha, like Korach says over here, Abaye shekula svarim needs a mezuzah. Tosa, it looks ridiculous. Of course it needs a mezuzah. What does it help? The Abaye shekula svarim. The mezuzah has to be nikva v'shlisha elyon. There's so many halachas. By us it's a joke, and by us it's a joke also. You shouldn't be chayim and tcheles in the corner of the beggar. Of course you're chayim and tcheles. It's ridiculous. Anyone who knows Hilchas Tzitzis knows that the Tain of Korach is a joke. But apparently at that time they didn't know enough about Hilchas Tzitzis, so they thought that the common sense dictates that Moshe Ben is making a mistake. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. This was the common sense rebellion of Korach. People have to know that common sense doesn't necessarily win the day, carry the day when it comes to halacha. They say the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, that the brisa that's printed in the Seder, Rav Shmuel Omer B'Shloshes Mis, HaTorned Reshes Behem, that Yigun Lidish HaTorned Reshes Behem, there's a 14th meter that they forgot to mention, the meter of Svar. That is true. The Gemara says, Lomali Kros Svaru. The Gemara says sometimes, whatever is an absolute Svar, you don't need a Pasuk for, but the Svar has to be, after you learn the rest of Halacha, so then your mind is attuned to thinking in terms of Torah. You know the system, so if you can figure out a svara based on halacha, so that svara is bound. It does mean common sense svara. After you learn the halacha, so and you know the system, so then if you say a svara, so that svara is also from the midrash Atarin Adrashis. But they say the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik that he told his children that before they finish all of Shas with Rashi, they shouldn't say any svaras, because the svaras are going to be pedestrian svaras. A svara has to be a teretic svara, so you should at least learn through all of Shas Midrash, and you know how to formulate a svara. Soloveitchik has another famous drosha that he delivered on Parshas Korach. That Korach's taina was kol ha'edu kulam kadoshim, madua tisnasu. So Rashi quotes from the Tanaim, kol ha'edu kulam kadoshim, we were all at Har Sinai, and we don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to paskin the shaila. Everybody should paskin their own shots. Every man's religion. We don't need rabbis. We don't need any rabbis. That's what everybody says today. We don't need any rabbis. Everybody knows how to learn just as well as the rabbi. So he understood. See, this is a question. When Korach held that the beggar Talosh of Kula Tchelas is pata from Tzitzis, he meant it's pata from Tzitzis and Gansan, it's pata from Tchelas. How can it be potter from Lovan just because the whole beggar is Tchelis? It should be potter from putting Lovan in the corner. The whole thing doesn't make sense. So Lachari means, his taina was, that you shouldn't have to put Tchelis in the corner. You have enough Tchelis, shouldn't have to put Tchelis. Since it's Lovan you should put, but Tchelis it should be potter. So that's where Rav Soloveitchik explained, why was Korach gunning out against the Tchelis? What did he have against the Tchelis? So he used to explain that Tchelis Damei Le'yav, Yav Damei Le'rakir, Rakir Damei Le'kisei HaKovid. Kisei HaKovid are the things that we don't know anything about. Whatever it says in Tanakh, we still don't know the fog. We don't have the foggiest notion what the Kisei HaKovid is all about. Lavan represents the things that are very clear. White represents the things that are very clear. As it says in the Pasuk, Kafarsa Hasimla Li'en Haskein by the Moitzi Shemra, the man who hires witnesses, bribes witnesses to testify that his wife was Mazana, to give her the death penalty, and then Yamazim the Adam, so the Baal, the husband who bribed the witnesses, has to pay Mea Kesef, and Vlosi Elisha, Luyuchel Shachel Kol Yomav. That's the punishment of the Moitzi Shemra. So it says there, Uforso Hasimla Le'eni Haskena. What do you mean, Uforso Hasimla? So the Gemara says, Dvarim Muchavarim Kisimla. It's not to be taken literally, that they stretch out a beged and they take a look whether there's dam besulim or not. What it means is that they're mevarer, they bring edim who amazim, the edi habal. Dvarim muchuvarim kisimla. What do you mean dvarim muchuvarim? Muchuvarim means white. The Rabbit very often is massing on the Rambam. So the Rabbit ever so often will use a lashon, loy muchuvar, it's not white. If it's white, means that it's clear, that it makes sense. Lo mechuvah means that it's not white, it doesn't make any sense. So the Hazal have this comment, of course, asimla, dvarim mechuvarim kisimla, because bizman ha-tanach, the normal dress would be white. It was unusual to have that women had big deitzivayim. That was the yotzimen I call today, that's the klal. All the dresses are, once in a long while, you have a white dress. Most of the dresses have designs on them. In the days of the Tanakh, apparently, the normal dress was the first asimla, was dvar mechubarim kesimla, white like a beged, white like a dress. So the tzitzis has to have two parts. Has to have the white part represent those things that are clear in life. In life, there are some things that are clear, some things. And there are a lot of things in life that are like tcheles damei le'kisei HaKovid, we don't know too much about. We can't really fathom them. So when it comes to paskening a shaila, everyone should have a little humility. Even if he got smicha and he thinks he knows kolon chachamim, kolon levanim, kolon zaken, kolon yodim, kolon Torah kula, everyone should have a little humility and realize that there is an area of tchelis that we don't really know, and we all need a rebbe. And even if the rebbe died, you have to think that's what Rav Soloveitchik said. And even if your Rebbe is no longer alive, you have to try to think in your mind, what would my Rebbe have said in this particular situation? You have to paskan based on tradition. When the Reform movement first began in Europe, it really began L'Shem Shamayim. The people, the Balabatim in Germany, did know Pirush Amilus of the davening. So the Rabbanim thought that if they'll daven in German, it'll be better. They'll understand it. They don't understand Kriya Shema, so if they say it in German in translation, it'll be better. So there's a Machlokes HaTanaim in the Mishnah Brachos. If you recite Kriya Shema in translation, if you Yaitze, so we pass on you are Yaitze. And then about davening, so it says, you shouldn't daven in Loshon Aramis because Malachi HaShoris Einem Akirim Loshon Aramis. When a Yochid davens, he has to have the assistance of the angels to present his prayers to the Ribbono Shel Olam. If it's Sibur davens together, Hein Kel Kabir Lo Yemos, Hein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moyes, B'Tfilosim Shel Rabim. That's the Gemara in Perek El Nemorim in Soitam. But when a person davens Shel Olam B'Tzibur, then he needs the Malachim to present the Tfilos. So you shouldn't daven in Aramaic if you daven B'Yechidus. So Tosis asks the Kasha, how can it be? The Rishonim asks, how can it be? They understand all the languages except for Aramaic. Aramaic is a combination of Hebrew and other languages. So what's so difficult? So Hans Tosis to figure out what the Aramaic is. We know Aramaic. We know Hebrew, so you figure out what the Loshon HaGemara is. There isn't so much to know already in Aramaic. How can it be the Malachim? Ain't Makirim Loshon, I don't understand. So the Ravid says in the Tamim Deim, in the Chubas of the Ravid, the Rabbi writes, it doesn't mean they don't understand Aramaic. They understand Aramaic. They have all the other languages. They know Aramaic also. But the Aramaic doesn't mean Aramaic. Aramaic means the vernacular, the spoken language in the street. So the Malachi Ashar is that they have to present the Tefillah to Ribbono Shel Olam. They think, they look down upon a person who davens in the vernacular. He should at least, like the in the church, they used to pray in Latin. And then they decided recently that the Balabatim don't understand Latin, so let's translate it into English. So they started praying in English, and then the Balabatim didn't like it. Because when it was in Latin, they thought, me or there, what it says over there. Now they say in English, it's a plain prayer. So some of them felt very bad about that. So that's what the Ravid says, it is the Pshat Nagimar. You should daven in Loshna Kodesh, you should daven in some fancy language. In Hungary, where the Yeshiva Bachman learned in the yeshivas, so when they spoke in the street, they spoke Hungarian. But when they learned in yeshiva, they learned in Yiddish. They felt that's a bizoyim to the Torah, to learn a Hungarian. Hungarian was the vernacular. In America, when we talk and learning in the yeshivas, we don't talk in English. We talk, it's a different language, yeshivish English. It's like Aramaic. It's like Aramaic. It's not the way. There are goyim alive today in Iraq who talk Aramaic. But they don't talk Aramaic the way it says in the Gemara. They talk real Aramaic. We talk yeshivish Aramaic. It's a different language. It's not the vernacular. It's not what used to be the vernacular in Bavel at the time. So the original Reform rabbis, when the movement first began, they were Orthodox. They weren't Reform. And they looked in the Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, and it says that you're permitted, B'tzibu, you're permitted to daven even in the vernacular. You shouldn't daven in the vernacular. B'yochid, B'aramis means in the vernacular. So they decided they'll translate their prayers into German and ensure that davening b'tzibur. So you're allowed to daven in Aramis b'tzibur. The vernacular is okay. So the Cheshbon was right. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. But the one mistake was that they didn't consult with the Gedolei Hador. They knew Rabbi Kivega was alive at that time. They knew Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius was alive. They knew that the Chasam Sofer was alive. And all the Rabbonim, after they instituted this takona to daven in shul in the vernacular, so all the Rabbanim were opposed for various reasons. That was the big mistake that they made. They didn't consult. Even if it's an offended din in the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch, still, you want to make a major change to change the Nusach of the Tefillah. You have to consult with others. Consult with big. They knew who were the Gedolei Hador. Not that they had hallucinations that they were the Gedolei Hador. They knew who the Gedolei Hador were. They didn't consult with them. That was the big mistake. Just now, there's a... And the state senates in the different states are discussing same-sex marriages. So there's a young fellow who got smicha from YU, I think 2 years ago. So he went and he testified in state senate that he's all for same-sex marriages. Why? Because this freedom of religion, the Bill of Rights, the First Amendment, freedom of religion, and we have to give everybody freedom of religion. And if we're not going to give them the freedom to do, if we're going to force our religion on them, so they're going to force their religion on us. So in order to preserve Judaism, we have to vote for same-sex marriages. So this person is a member of the Rabbinical Council of America, and all the rabbanim in the Rabbinical Council want to kill him. They say their organization already took a position against it. So that one of the main tainus they have against him, they have in their blog, someone just showed me yesterday, one of the main tainus they have, why didn't he consult with anybody else? He didn't consult, he went on his own, he went and he testified in the Senate hearing. Why didn't he consult with anybody else? He apparently thinks he's a very big Talmid Chacham, which he isn't. It's very unfortunate. So this was Korach's taina, that's Parshas HaShavuah. That's Kolo Kulam Kedoshim. We don't need Moshe Rabbeinu to pass on the Shabbos. Kulam Amdu B'Sina. We all learned Yeridaya. Everybody knows equally. That's what someone once told Rabbi Israel Miller. He used to be a vice president here. That's Rabbi David Miller's father. So he was, every Shabbos they have a different guest in the yeshiva. So once he was the guest in the yeshiva. So someone mentioned to him that that's the difference between the Aguda and the YU position. The Aguda, they have a Vad Moetzes Gedolei HaTorah. And the YU, we feel that anybody has smicha is entitled equally to an opinion. So Rabbi Miller spoke by Shalosh Shuvos. He says, if Rabbi Eliashiv says something and I disagree, I don't think I'm entitled to an opinion. He said this, he says around 20 years ago. What do you mean? Everyone has smicha is entitled to an equal opinion. It's ridiculous. That was the Taina of Korach, Kolo Eidu Kulam Kedoshim. We don't need Rabbanim. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik used to emphasize, that Korach was gunning out to do away with the Tcheles. The Tcheles represents, Rabbi Samson, Rabbi Hirsch has part of this. He doesn't have the whole thing, he has part of it. Rav Soloveitchik liked Rabbi Hirsch's commentary on Chumash. Once in a while he would quote from it. He told the students that if they know German, they should read. At that time the commentary on Tehillim was not yet translated into English. So he recommended to the students that those who know German should read his commentary on Tehillim. He liked that very much also. Commentary on Chumash is already available. Commentary on Tehillim is also available in English now. So he has part of this. He doesn't have the whole thing. That the Lavan represents those things in life that we do understand, and Tcheles represents the things in life that the Daim Elokis Yaakovit that we don't understand. And everyone should realize that there's an awful lot of Tcheles in life, and we do need a Rebbe. And even if the Rebbe is not alive to consult, we should think in our minds, what would my Rebbe have said in this given situation? And a lot of times the person who's taking a stand knows in his heart that his Rebbe would not say the same thing. Rebbe would not take the stand that he took. What exactly is the connection between the Haftorah and the Parsha? There has to always be a connection. In the days of the Tanoim, whoever got Maftah could recite whatever section from Navi he wants, as long as it has some connection with the, has to be in Yonah D'Yoma. Either in Yonah D'Yoma means connected with the Parsha HaShavuah, on Yonah D'Yoma because there's a Chosin in Shul, so they would say, Kechosin Yichayim Per, V'chakolot Tavdeh Kelecha, they would say that Haftorah. Or something min yana diyama. Macha chaydish is min yana diyama. So a Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. The Shabbos also in yana diyama. So we're not going to lay in the Haftar. So what exactly is the connection, if not for the fact that it's going to be Shabbos, what's the connection between this Haftarah and the Parsha? So the Pashtus, there's a superficial connection. There's always a superficial connection. And then very often, there's an additional connection based on a medrash, based on some agoda in the Gemara. So the superficial connection is very obvious here, that here there was a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, against Moshe Rabbeinu's authority, Madua Tisnasu. And here there is a rebellion against Shmuel Anobi's authority. He says, why are you rejecting me? What's wrong with me? What do you want, a melech? What's wrong with me? I'm a good, honest shofet. But if you look in Midrashim, there's an additional connection. There Moshe Rabbeinu says, B'zos teidun ki Hashem shlachani, that I'm not making it up on my own. Embriyo yibra Hashem, epotzotzo ha'adoma espiyo. So Rashi quotes from the Gemara, embriyo, that yibra Hashem, the Rebbeinu Shalom, should create pescho shal gehenem, and Korach and his chevra should be swallowed up. Then the Gemara says, how can it be? That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. The Rebbeinu Shalom should create a new thing, briyo yibra Hashem. It says the Rebbeinu Shalom created briyo shemayim, where it was in sheshis mei bereshis. Doesn't mean that on this next day he rested and then he continued to do Bria. Another 6 days, Baruch Shalom, every 6 days he does Bria and the seventh day he rests and 6 days. No. Vayamishvei Shabbos Vayinafish means after the Sheshis Mei Breshis he no longer does Bria Yesh Meyayim. Now he only does yesh meyesh. He doesn't do any more yesh meyesh. So what does Moshe Rabbeinu say in Briya Yivra Hashem? The Rebbeinu Shalom should create Pisco Shal Gehenim. So the Gemara says, no, en kochodesh tachas Hashemesh. Moshe Rabbeinu can't ask God should create something new. It says, v'yom ha'shvi'i shavas v'ayinav. He's not going to create anything new. What he meant to say was, in Briya, there is Pisco Shal Gehenim. If Pisco Shal Gehenim is here, so I ask the Rebbeinu Shalom, open it up now. And Pisco Shal Gehenim is not here, it should move to here. That's not called chodesh. Enko chodesh tachas Hashemesh means if mamash they ask God to create something new, yesh meyai. But there is a pischo shel gem. So he tells her, yes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the tzadik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu mikayim. Yes, the Rebbeinu Shalom, pischo shel gem is nowhere nearby. See to it that it should move over here, and these people should be swallowed up alive. And then Adas Kirk was swallowed up alive. So that's, so Moshe Rabbeinu is asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a nes. A nes nigla. He's not asking a bria yesh meyayin that the Gemara says enko chodesh tachas hanuva. He's asking to make a nes. So this is a problem. The Mishnah says in Brachas that one is not permitted to pray for a miracle. The Mishnah says if one's wife is pregnant and he wants a boy, he wants a girl, whatever. So if it's early in the pregnancy, it hasn't yet been determined whether it's going to be a boy or a girl, so it makes sense to pray. But if it's already holding by the end, so you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle, so that you have no right to ask for a miracle. So how come over here Moshe Rabbeinu, how come you have in the Gemara? That's what the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetiv asks this kasha on Hilchas Birchas Hamazon. It says if a person ate a meal on Chanukah, so the Gemara has a shada, do you have to recite Al Anisim in Birchas Hamazon or not? Gemara by Mamadlikim in the Sugya of Chanukah. So the Gemara says the Takonas Chacham to recite Al Anisim is only in Tfilah. In Birchas Hamazon, it's Rishus, it's optional. But the minig is that we do say. So you mechuyif to recite Al Anisim in Birchas Hamazon mitam minig. So what if a person benches on Chanukah, he forgot to say Al Anisim? So of course you don't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon if it's only a minig, it's only a Rishus. So it says in Shulchan Aruch, you don't have to repeat the Birchas Hamazon, but at the end of the benching, we add on so many paragraphs Harachman, so add another paragraph, Harachman, Yasol Al Anisim in the floors, Kishem Shal Sisal Avaseinu. Then you say, you say the whole Al Anisim, whatever you forgot to say. So the Shari Tshuva quotes a kasha from his ancestor, from his Elta Zeta, the Panim Iris. How can you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rachman Yasal Al Anisim in the floors? The Mishnah says in Brachas, you're not permitted to ask for a miracle. So he quotes from the Panim Iris that there were three klolim. To ask for a nes nister is permissible. Rachman Yasal Al Anisim, he's not allowed to ask for a miracle that he should make a Pach Hashem, that it should burn for 8 days. That's a Neis Nigla. But to ask the Rebbeinu Shalom to do a Neis Nista that you are permitted to do. And then even a Neis Nigla, if the person is an unusual tzaddik, you're permitted to. Or a Neis Nigla on behalf of Klal Yisrael, you're allowed to. Because Klal Yisrael is L'mayla Menat Teva, so they're not bound by Teva. And unusual tzaddikim, Ashkulim Keneged Klal Yisrael, so an unusual tzaddik is allowed to. So this is how he far emphasizes all the kashas. The Gemara in Maseches Tainis has a whole perk that's called Pirka de Chasidi. The perk that has all the stories. Maseches Tainis has a lot of stories. There's a lot of stories about different Tanoim and Amoraim who are mispalo to Rebbeinu Shalom that he should make a miracle, and their request was granted. How were they permitted to ask for a miracle? Mamash aneis nigla. The answer is unusual tzaddikim ashkulim keneged klal yisrael, so they're lamayla menatev. So that's really the, based on the Midrashim, that's the connection between, that's the additional connection between the Parsha and the Haftarah, if not for the fact that this week is Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. In the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle. In Bria Yivra Hashem, he asked him to make a miracle. He doesn't ask a Bria Yesh Meyayin, he's asking Bria Yesh Meyesh, the Pi Ha'oretz, the Pischo Shal Gehenim, should move over here. And the Haftarah, Shmuel HaNovi tells the people, "Halok tzirchitim hayom ekra l'Hashem yitin kolus amato udu'u uru'u ki ra'aschem rabba asher asis miyan Hashem lishlacham melech." He said, "In Eretz Yisrael, it doesn't rain. The dry season, they don't say v'sein talamata. This part of the year, it never rains. It's a yotzim in aklal. In Eretz Yisrael, when you go for the summer, you don't need an umbrella. You don't need a raincoat. It never rains. Once in a while, it'll rain for 5 minutes in Eretz Yisrael. It's very unusual if it rains in Eretz Yisrael before." After Sukkot, before you say Saint Talamata. So this is the additional connection between the Kriya and the Haftarah, that in both in the Parshas Korach and in the Haftarah, unusual tzaddikim who are shkulim keneged kol Yisrael ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make a miracle, and the Baruch Shalom listens. Tzadik Gaisa v'akadosh baruch hamikayim. Moshe Rabbeinu asks that pi ha'aretz should swallow up Korach v'Hadassah, and it does. And he, Shmuel HaNavi, requests from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should rain, so it started to rain. It starts to rain in the middle of the dry season. Starts to rain. By us, there never is a dry season. In America, there's no day in the year that has no record of how much rain came down. That's why the Rosh has the Taina, the Rosh when he moved to Spain. He had the Taina that he doesn't understand why they don't say his Hayin Talamato all year long. There is no dry season anymore. And Eretz Yisrael, around Eretz Yisrael, there it makes sense. Sometimes it's Saint Baruch, sometimes it's Saint Talamot. So the Rosh was outvoted. He says he argued, but the other Chachamim, he was outvoted. The Gemara in Bava Basra tells the Rabbi Baba Chana, hold on, got it there. The beginning of HaMerches HaSfina, the Rabbi Baba Chana went touring, and Hahu Taya, there was an Arab who was giving him a guided tour, and was showing all the sites. So he shows him the Meise Midbar, shows him where the Meise Midbar are, then he shows him the place where Bului Korach, where Korach Vadosa got swallowed up by the earth. And he went over to the Pi Ha'aretz, and he went over and he heard they were screaming at Moshe Emes, V'Saras Emes, V'Anachna Badoim, and we're liars, we're fakers. This is a Gemara. So the Maharsha is bothered with the Kasha. How can it be that they said Moshe Emes, V'Saras Emes, V'Anachna Badoim? There's a Gemara in Erevin, but the Gemara says, Rishoyim, Afilo Apischol Shel Gehenna, Meinim Chosim Mitshuva. The Rishoyim never do tshuva. Even when holding by falling into Gehenna, they don't do tshuva. So how can it be that he heard the Bloy Koyrach said, Moshe Emes v'saras Emes, v'anachnu badoim? How can it be they never do tshuva? So the Marsha has a whole pilpul in the Chidushi Agada. He says, al pischol shel gehenim, they don't do tshuva. When they're about to fall into gehenim, but after they already fell into gehenim, then they do tshuva. So here they already fell in. They were swallowed up by pi ha'aretz. So then they do tshuva. So they scream out, Moshe Emes v'saras Emes, v'anachnu badoim. Then there's a famous teretz that they say over from the Dubna Magid, but he said that there was a miser who lived in a village. No one wanted to be mishadach with him. So he couldn't find the shidduch for his child. So he sent a shatchan to go to a different city to get a shidduch. So the people in the city hated him so much. So when they heard that he sent a shatchan to the other city, so they sent someone there to torpedo the shidduch. To tell all the other people in the city that the guy's a miserable miser and they shouldn't marry his child. Then he saw he's having problems, so he sent Shatchan to a further city. So they heard about that, so they sent a shliach to tell all the people in the other city. Then he sent the Shatchan to a very far off location. This is all the Dubna Magid used to give Mishalom. He used to explain things always with Mishalom. So he sent the Shatchan to a far off location. So they sent someone there, but how are the people going to believe the Shatchan was a mechubedik person? The miser had a lot of money, so he sent a mechubedik person to read the shidduch. And the other people in the city, they couldn't afford to send somebody mechubed. So they sent someone to torpedo the shidduch. So he came there for Shabbos, the one who's doing the shlichas to ruin the shidduch came for Shabbos. And he heard whom they're trying to be Mesharach, the miser's child with. So he thought that he should be invited to his home on Friday night. And he's eating by him. Then in the middle of the conversation, so the head of the household asks him, where do you come from? So he says, he comes from that village. Oh, do you know this and this person? So he says, yeah. So he says, what type of a person is this? He says, he's praising and praising and praising. And then at the end of all the praises, so he says, and by the way, who are you? What's your name? He says, I'm Yankel the liar. So when he says, I'm Yankel the liar, it means that everything that I said is not true. If he would say outright, oh, he's a miserable person, so he thought they probably wouldn't believe him. So first he said a lot of praises, that they should believe it. And then once they believed the first thing that he said, so he said, I'm Yankel the liar. So that's what the Dubna Magid said. That's what they said. Moshe Emes v'saras Emes, and who are we? Manachna badoi. We're a bunch of liars. Everything we said is a lie. They never did tshuva. They meant Moshe is not Emes, but Torah is not Emes. Yeah. According to the way the Dubna Magid interprets, it doesn't make sense that people today, religious people, dance and they sing Moshe Emes v'saras Emes. These were the words of the liars. That's what they said. Manachna badoi. truth of the matter is that the whole kasha is based on a mistake. The Gemara says in Erevin that this statement, Rishayim afilo apischos gehayim enum chayz metshuva, Gemara claims that that's only regarding Umas Olam. But regarding Bnei Yisrael, it's not so. When they see that they're falling in, then it will be chayz metshuva. So we're talking over here about Bnei Yisrael. So it's the whole kasha that the Masha asks is very funny. I remember one summer, the first time I was learning Erevin, I was on vacation, and one night we were up to that Daf Gemara, and that's when they had Nixon was going to be on TV. They were interviewing him about what was it, scandal? Watergate scandal. So they asked us if we want to watch TV. So we said, no, we had a few boys with me. So I said, we got to learn Gemara. So we learned that night. And then after we finished, we learned this Daf Gemara about the different agarata, the difference between Umas Olam and Yisrael. By Umas Olam, afilo pischos shehayim, they never chayze b'tshuva. And Yisrael, when he gets caught, so he'll be chayze b'tshuva. So after we finished learning, so the other people had watched the TV. So they asked us, what do you think Nixon said? So we said, Nixon did not do tshuva. According to the Gemara, he will not do tshuva. Even if the guy gets caught, he'll never do tshuva. So I said, how did you know? So he said, that's what it said in tonight's Gemara. That was it wasn't the Daf Yomi, that was the Daf that we learned that night. That's what the Gemara says. Rabbanu Shel Olam instructed Moshe Rabbeinu, they should take the Machtos HaChatam Ha'ele B'Nafshoisim and they should make them Tzipui L'Mizbeach. Zikar lebnei Yisrael manasha leikr v'yishzar anan koyin shalom yizar aron lahaktik teres lefnei Hashem v'leiyah kekorach v'chadosa kashadibra Hashem b'yad Moshe Olam. So the Gemara says v'leiyah kekorach v'chadosa, a person is machzik b'machlekes, a person who makes a machlekes is zervan alav. It doesn't mean you should make a tzipa l'mizbeach to remind the people not to act like her. V'leiyah kekorach v'chadosa is a separate lav. I don't know if it's pshuto shel mikra, but that's how the Gemara says. You're not allowed to make a machlekes. Unfortunately, throughout all the generations, there were people who would start machlekes, and if there's a problem, you have to try to solve all the problems. You shouldn't leave everything the way it is, but we should always try to avoid machlekes whenever possible. Sometimes you have no choice. The Chofetz Chaim writes a lot about machlekes. During his time, there used to be major machlekes, and families wouldn't talk to each other. They already forgot what the reason was. The reason began up as three generations earlier. There was some kind of a cause. And then there were machzik ma'machlekes. That's the minig. You don't talk to the other family. And no one knew why. Is there any gam havasim, gam sinasim, kvar ravna? He writes a lot about machlekes, how ridiculous it is. So he quotes a passage from the Zohar commenting on the pasuk. He quotes this pasuk, liyik korech v'chadosim, and then he quotes a passage from the Zohar that says, goes on. You're not allowed to make machlekes on Shabbos. Machlekes on the weekdays is only one lav. Machlekes on Shabbos is an additional lav. Why do you need an additional lav on Shabbos? So he says, because the people don't go to work, so they have nothing to do all day long. So they pick a fight, usually. He says, all week long you have to run to the office. You have no time to pick a fight on Shabbos. You're relaxed. And you can't go to work, so you make machlokes. So he complains about how terrible it is that people are making machlokes. So then Rashi quotes from the Tanoim, because Korach was ma'arer al ha'kohuna, so the Rabbanu Shel Olam reviews at the end of the Sedra not all of the Chof Dalet Matnas Kohuna, but the many of the Matnas Kohuna, to be mechazik the institution of Kohuna. So the Torah reviews the dinim of Hafrashas Truma and Hafrashas Meiser. Truma you have to give to Kohanim, Meiser Rishon you have to give to the Levim. When the Levim get the Meiser Rishon, they have to be Mafrish Meiser Mina Meiser and give that to the Kohanim. And the Meiser Mina Meiser has the status of Truma Gedoyla. We mentioned several times this year. The Mishnah Maseches Me'ilah. We paskin in order to get Malkus for eating Macholas Asuras, you have to eat a Kazayas. One Tana Reb Shimon in Malkus, in Masechus Malkus, there's a Mishnah that says, our expert in Malkus is not here today. There's a Mishnah Malkus that has Machlekes Satan. If you eat less than a Kazayas, whether you get Malkus. Reb Shimon holds Kol Shuhul in Malkus, Le'omer Kazayas, Elilin Yikorbin Belvat. In order to be chayv achatas for eating chayla b'dam, you have to have eaten a kazayis. But in order to get malchus, when you eat the mezid, you don't have to have eaten a kazayis. So we don't paskin like him. We paskin, you only get malchus. You only get malchus if you eat a kazayis. Then there's a machlokes. Further machlokes satanan. What if you eat a half a kazayis of basa b'cholim and half a kazayis of ham? It's not shem echot. So we paskin any surim. There's one opinion. Rav Meir surim is tar from zem zeh. Bottom line, you ate kazayis of macholos asuris. L'asolcha kol ta'eba kol she'diavtu l'cha hareba bal teichel. So all macholos asuris are included in one pasuk. L'asolcha kol ta'eba. So we don't accept that opinion of Rav Meir. We paskin you have to eat a kazayis of one isur. Any surim is tar from zem zeh. But let's say you have a half a kazayis of Niblas behema and half a kazayis of niblas ha'oif. So then it's start from a person has half a kazayis of pork and half a kazayis of horse meat. So this is pork and this is horse meat, but al pi din, it's the same thing as a behema tamei. So shem echad and shireim shavim and shmaseim shavim. So the Mishnah Me'ila says that it's mitzdarf. So the Mishnah Me'ila has a chiddush. If a non koyin, a zar, eats a quarter of a kazayis of truma gedoyla, quarter of a kazayis of trumas maisa, a quarter of a kazayis of bikurim, and a quarter of kazayis of chalos, so they're mitzdarfim, because all four are shem echad. So that's based on this pasuk. V'nechsho lechem chumaschem kadogan min agorin v'cham lea min ayekev. The chumas maisa that the levi gives to the kohen is exactly kadogan min agorin v'cham lea min ayekev. It has exactly the same status as truma gedolim. And the same thing, the bikurim and the chala are referred to by the chumash as truma. So they all have the status of truma, so it's all shem echad. If it's shmaseim shavim and shireim shavim, then the din is that it's mitztarfim. The Gemara in the second parak in Ksubis quotes the machlokes of Akiva and Ablozim and Azariah. Who do you give the Maaser Rishon to? So Rabbi Akiva holds that you only give it to a levi. If you give it to a kohen, you're not yotzei. Rabbi Ablozim and Azariah says, no, b'choptal mekom is nikro ka'adam levim. Every kohen is also a levi. So what does Rabbi Akiva think? He doesn't agree. Every kohen is also a levi. It's true, b'choptal mekom is nikro ka'adam levim. So the answer, Al Pipash, this is, we spoke about it already earlier. The answer is that there are two concepts. There's a concept of Shevet Levi and Kedushas Levi. So the Kohanim come from Shevet Levi, but they don't have Kedushas Levi. You don't say Yesh B'chal Masayim Mona, that since they have Kedushas Kuna, so Kal B'chomer that they have Kedushas Levi. No, that's a Tosfos in the end of Bechoris, the last parak in Bechoris, and the Sugis of Pidyon HaBen there. But Tosfos proves from the Gemara. That's the Gemara has that assumption. That a Kohen does not have Kedushas Levi. Shevet Levi he is, but Kedushas Levi not. So we can understand that is probably the Machlekes of Akiva, Ablozim, and Azariah. To whom do you give the Maaser Rishon? Do you give it to, it says in Chumash, give it to the Levi. Do you give it to the person who's from Shevet Levi, so Kohanim are included, or you give it to the individual who has Kedushas Levi, so that does not include Kohanim. So now there's a further question. The Rambam adopts the position of Rabbi Akiva that you're only yotzei min haTorah, you're only yotzei the matana of Maaser Rishon if you give it to a levi. Give it to a kohen, you're not yotzei. Ezra made a penalty. Ezra called us halavim. Because when Ezra encouraged everyone to go back to Eretz Yisrael to complete the building on the second Beis Hamikdash and to be makriv korbanos, so it says that that was the whole purpose. So when they were halfway there to Eretz Yisrael, they stopped by a river, by Nahar Kvor, and then he started to take a poll, a census of how many people, a handful of people came. There are a few thousand people, but there weren't so many. 34,000, 44,000, something like that. Millions of people stayed behind. Hardly anybody came back in the beginning of Bayi Sheni. So he asked how many Levim were there. He said there were so few Levim. He said it's physically impossible to run a Beis HaMikdash. He told everybody to stay here. He has to go back to Bavel Shlep, more Levim. Because the whole purpose of returning back to Eretz Yisrael was to run the Beis HaMikdash. You need more Levim to help out. So that's right. Ezra Konas HaSalvim, because the Levim didn't want to come back. The Levim Mestama were more religious than the rest of the people. And the people who went back to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says, Asar Yichson Olam in Bavel. They were all Gerim and Chalolim and Mamzerim and the Zionists. They're not religious Jews. The religious Jews stayed. The religious learned people stayed behind in Bavel. And the Jews from Bavel didn't want to marry the Jews from Eretz Yisrael. They considered them all Sofik Mamzerim. The Gemara says, Rabbi Chiya was the most outstanding Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. So he wanted to introduce him to his daughter. He wanted to make a Shidduch. So Rabbi Chiya didn't bite. So he said, what's wrong? My Torah is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. He didn't say anything. That was exactly it. The Jews from Babel felt they had a better yichud. The Jews from Eretz Yisrael, they were all mamzerim chalolim. They were all the psulei kohol. We're all mixed in there. So the Frumma people, the Levim were the Frumma people like it now. The Frumma Yidin stay in Monsi and Baruch Park and Flappish, they didn't want to go to Eretz Yisrael. And the modern people, the non-religious people are moving to Eretz Yisrael. The whole Zionist movement was the non-religious people, unfortunately. So the... So the Gemara says that Ezra penalized the Levim. Ezra Konasas HaLevim. What was the Knas? That you give Maiserishim to the Kohanim. What does that mean? So Taisa says, shows in the Gemara in the second Perek in Ksubis. If the din is like Rabbi Akiva, that Menatari can only give Maiserishim. That's how the Rambam Paskin is like Rabbi Akiva. Menatari can only give Maiserishim to the Levim. So the nature of the penalty was, you have an option. You can either give it to Kohanim or Levim. That's what he changed. He changed a little bit. And if the din is like Rabbi Elazar and Azariah, that means Atari can give it either to a Kohen or Levi, because B'chav Talib Mekam is Nikru Kohanim Levim. So Ezra's penalty was, you should B'davka not give it to Levim, only give it to the Kohanim. But Ezra made this penalty. The Gemara talks as if the penalty still applied Bizman HaGemara. The Knas of Ezra. The applied Bizman HaTanoim. The Rambam writes, Ezra Konasas HaLevim Shebedoro. The penalty was only for the Levim in his generation. So that's all the noise of Kelim is. It's against the Gemara. Gemara said, Beferish, the penalty still applied in the days of the Tanaim. Tanaim didn't live in the days of Ezra. Ezra is the one who was instrumental in completing the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. Tanaim were after the Churban HaBayis. How can it be? So this says, Minchas Chinuch discusses it. So he says, the Rambam's opinion is, the Rambam writes, based on a passage in Yerushalmi, that Trumas and Meiser is Bizman HaZez only with the Rabbanon HaFilu B'mei Ezra. And it'll only be their Isa when we'll have a Biyah Shlishis, when you have all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. Biyah Kulcham or Kol Yashvel, one or the other, when you have all the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Minchas Chinuch suggests, when the Rambam writes, Ezra Konasat Salavim Shebedoro, maybe it does mean in his generation. It means the penalty was to change the laws of the Torah. If the Din of Torah is that you're only Yotze if you give to Levim, you give to Kohanim and not Yotze, so what did he change the Din, the Olam Vod? So the Minchas Chinuch says he changed the Din because it's only made the Rabbanon. HaLevim Shebedoro means in this generation that Trumas and Marsis is only made the Rabbanon. Until when, and Kufa Satanaim is also the generation of Ezra. It's not the generation, the 20, 30 year generation, it's a generation because Trumas and Marsis is only made the Rabbanon. So you can negotiate a little bit. But when we'll have the Biyah Shlishis, when Trumas and Maisus will be Minat Torah, then the Rambam apparently thinks that this penalty will disappear into thin air.
Why won't they don't
usually they came there, I said, but he made a penalty. He wanted to introduce a penalty because the Levim were negligent. Hardly anybody showed up, but apparently there was a bigger negligence on the part of the Levim. So he penalized the Levim. So that penalty was only called Zman that Maiser will be Medir Rabban. Well, Maiser will revert back to become their Isa when we'll have Kol Yashvehu Aleh, Habiyas Kulchem. That's unclear in the Rambam what pasuk he's working with. So then the penalty of Ezra will no longer apply. So it's interesting that Nitziv, in his commentary on the Sifrei, points out in the Rambam, I think the Minchas Chinuch has the same comment, if I'm not mistaken, that even though the Rambam paskens like Rabbi Akiva, that Menat Torah, you're only Yotzei Truma, the only Yotzei Nesinas Maiserishin if you give it to a Levi. If you give it to a Kohen, you're not Yotzei. Nonetheless, if a Kohen has a farm and he's Mafrish Maiser, he doesn't have to give it to a Levi. He can keep it for himself. So the Nitziv says this, and he writes, he's disagreeing with one of the Gdolim who wrote not so. But there are Rishonim who write not so. The Ritva and Kedushin writes, Beferish not so. The Ritva and Kedushin writes, a Kohen who has a farm doesn't have to give away Truma Gdola, he keeps it for himself. A Levi has a farm, doesn't have to give away Maiserishin, he keeps it for himself. What if a Kohen has a farm and he's Mafish Maiserishin? Can he keep it for himself or not? So the Ritva says, if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, that you're only Yotzei Maiserishin if you give it to a Levi, how can the Kohen keep it for himself? You have to give it to a Levi. But if you're all like Rav Lozem and Azariah, that min haTorah Ma'aseh Rishin can either be given to a kohen or a levi. So if I'm the farmer, I'm a kohen. I own the tevel. I'm mafrish the Ma'aseh Rishin, so I can keep it for myself. The Rambam is beferish natsa. That's when the Nitziv points out the Rambam is beferish natsa. So he writes, this Rambam is against one of the Gedolim who wrote a sefer. One of his contemporaries wrote says not just against the Gedolim, it's against the Ritva. The Minchas Chinuch quotes it. Divan Kedushin beferish natsa. But the Rambam holds that even though you're not Yotze if you give the Ma'aseh Rishon to a Levi, you're not Yotze the Ma'aseh Rishon if you give it to a Kohen, but if the Kohen has a farm and he's Mafrish Ma'aseh Rishon, he's not Mechuyev to give it. Not that a Kohen keeps the Truma, he's Yotze Matnas Kuna by giving the Truma to himself. And the Levi has a farm, he's Yotze the Matnas Leviya by giving the Ma'aseh Rishon to himself. That's not Yotze the Mitzvah. The din is that a Kohen is Mechuyev to be Mafrish, not Mechuyev to do Nesina. So even on the Ma'aseh Rishon, that if you would give to him, if someone would give to a kohen, they wouldn't be Yotzei, the Matnas Leviya on the Ma'aseh Rishon. But that's the halacha. A kohen has a farm, is not mechuyev. When he mafrish Ma'aseh Rishon, the Rambam is beferish, not mechuyev min haTorah. Not only after the Takana says, not mechuyev min haTorah to give away the Ma'aseh Rishon to somebody else.
Why would that be?
Psukim, based on Psukim in the Chumash. How you read the Psukim? There is a din in the Mishnah is that when you mafrish trumas and maisrus, it has to be min amukav, it has to be nearby. Let's say I'm traveling and I buy some tevel, buy some food that's tevel, and I know I have bushels of tevel at home. So I'll be koir Hashem, I want to eat everything that I have. I don't want to separate part is Truma Gedola, part is Ma'aseh Rishon, part is Ma'aseh Sheni. I'll be Kor Hashem, something that I have at home, that should be Truma Gedola, that should be Ma'aseh. I'm going to eat everything that I have. So the Mishnah says, L'chatchili, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to be Torim Shalom and Amukav. Shalom and Amukav means they're not near each other. But yeah, but if you Torim Shalom and Amukav, it's Chal. So Rashi and Taisus have a machloikis in Gittin on Daf Lamed, whether this din L'chatchila of mukav zis a din derais a din derabbanon. So Rashi writes, it's a gzeira midirabbanon, that it may be that I'm relying on a mistake. It may be that the tevel that I have at home, maybe it was eaten up already. Maybe it was destroyed. Maybe it was ruined. Maybe it's nifsa machila. How do you know if you're not there? But if you call on the telephone and they tell you, yeah, all the tevel is still intact, right? In the days of the Gemara, there were no cell phones. That's so the guy will call home, and I'll find out that the thing is intact. So according to Rashi, it could be that it's mutter. Rashi says the whole din of hafrosha shalom and amukav lachatchili, you're not allowed to do it. It's a gzera derabbanan. It may be that it's a mistake. It may be that it's no longer there. You have a right to assume it's bechezka shehu kayim, that it's still kayim, but lachatchili derabbanan shouldn't rely. Taisa disagrees with Rashi. Taisa says no, that it's a din min hatur, that it says a few times in the end of Parshas Korach, v'harim chem eschel bo mimenu. Says a few times mimenu. So mimenu, the sifrei says mimenu means mimin al minoi. Shouldn't be mafrish from grapes on grain or from grain on grapes. Mimenu means mimin al minoi. And then it says again mimenu. So what is barim chem called trumas hashem mikol chelbas migdash mimenu? Why does it say mimenu? So the sifrei says min hamechubar. You should be mafrish min ha-mechuba. What do you mean min ha-mechuba? So the Tosis apparently was referring to this sifrei, min ha-mechuba. What does it mean min ha-mechuba? You can't be mafrish min ha-mechuba when it's still attached to the ground. Where do you see from the pasuk it should be attached to the ground? If you mafrish ha-mechuba l'karka, it's not chal. So apparently Tosis understood min ha-mechuba means it should be near each other. It should be close to each other, min ha-mukaf. That's the sifrei's darshining from the pasuk. So last year or 2 years ago, somebody published, they found a Ksav Yad, that's Miyuchas Laharayvid, a commentary on the Sifrei on Bamidbar and Dvorim. I'm not such at all. I don't know if in the Kisvei Yad, it doesn't seem to me to be by the Ravid. The Ravid always has Chidushim, and this is very bland. He has, once every 40 pages, he has something original. The Ravid, we have the Pirush Ravid on Torah Kahanim. Every paragraph is a knockout, you know, a home run. The Rebbe doesn't write just a boring, bland commentary. So I find it hard to believe it's a Rebbe. That's what they quote. They have the Chidor had this manuscript. The Chidor identified it as a Ksav Yad from the Rebbe. So this Pirush HaMiyuchas LaHaRavid, they think is by the Rebbe, he says, Mimenu min ha-mechuba means this is the marker of the din of Mukav. The Mukav is a din, that's what Tosafot writes in Gittin on Daf Lamed. The Vilna Gaon and all the others, and then Netziva, of course, followed. Netziva was the Rosh Yeshiva Halojin. Halojin, they followed everything from the Vilna Gaon. So the Netziva, in his commentary on Sifrei, follows the Hagos Hagra, that there's a misprint, there's a mistake in the Ksav Yad. It shouldn't say Min HaMechubar, it should say Min HaMuvchor. It's the same letters. Not Mechubar, but rather Muvchor. And the marker was, Mikol Chelbo is Migdasho. Barim Chemes Chelbo Mimena. Chelbo means the Muvchor. You're not supposed to be mafrish min ha-garua, l'chatchid, you should be mafrish torah min ha-yofe. Shouldn't be mafrish min ha-ro al ha-yofe. L'asisu alav chayt barim chemes chalba mimen. If you're mafrish min ha-muvchor, you will not be sinning. If you're mafrish torah min ha-ro al ha-yofe, it's oivan an iser. If you're torah min ha-yofe, then you're not oivan the iser. L'asisu alav chayt barim chemes chalba mimen. So that's how they magia, that it shouldn't say min ha-mechuba, it should say min ha-muvchor. Yeah, this Tosfos and the Ravid who seem to understand Tosfos beferish like that, and Git Flami disagrees with Rashi. They hold that Mukaf is a din de araisa lachatchila, but it's not me'ake b'riyevid. So there's a Tosfos in the end of Nida has a klal, who is a Tosfos samach vav on the base, I think, in the end of Nida. Tosfos has a klal. It doesn't make sense to have a lachatchila b'riyevid on the level of the raisa, unless the thing is a mitzvah. Take for example, when you bring a korban chatos, alachatchil yizark the dam on the four corners of the mizbech, and b'di'evid, there's machlek, there's b'sham and b'silo, they both agree that all the dalad zrikas are not mi'ak, we pass like b'sil, one matana. One zrika is ma'akiv, all the other zrikas are not mi'akiv. Oh, what else do you have, alachatchil and b'di'evid? You have a lot. Let's say, alachatchil in the mitzvah of tzitzis is tchelis with lovin'. And we paskin, most of the Rishonim paskin like the Chachamim, the Rebbe, that the Tchelis is not Miyakev. So if you have only Lovin, you don't have Tchelis. So Yotze Mitzvah Shalob Yishleimus. If you only have Tchelis, you don't have Lovin. So Yotze Mitzvah Shalob Yishleimus. So there's a concept, when it comes to a mitzvah, if you do the mitzvah Bishleimus, then you get a big piece of Livyosin, you get a lot of Tzchar. If you do a mitzvah Shalob Yishleimus, you get less Livyosin, you get less Tzchar. So there's a concept of L'chatchilim B'diyevid, in a mitzvah. If you're talking about a matir, let's say basa b'cholov, so l'chatchila you shouldn't eat it, you shouldn't do this, shouldn't cook in a pot, in a treif of pot that's ein ben yom, you shouldn't cook l'chatchila, but if you cooked it doesn't make treif. So that's a dead giveaway that's only midirabbanan. How can it be that there's a l'chatchila? There's no mitzvah. You're talking about an isa, either it's osa or it's muta. It can be it's l'chatchila, it's osa, midirabbanan, it's muta. Muta b'diabit, it's muta l'chatchila, or get. A get is not a mitzvah. There's a hida mitzvah to write the get on a golden platter. Hida mitzvah. There's no hida mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. A get is a mat. You can write the get on a piece of shmata paper, a piece of toilet paper. There's no hida mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah. A get is a matir. So the Mishnais have, every so often, the lachatchila, the get should have been written like this. Yeah, but it's good without that. So Tosfos says it's a dead giveaway that it's all midirabbanan. All the lachatchilas and hilchos get are only midirabbanan. If you're talking about a mitzvah, then a shaykh to talk about l'chatchila b'riyah. So here Tosfos claims that the din of min ha-mukaf, that the truma with the tevel, everything should be near each other when you're mafrish, that min ha-mukaf is l'chatchila d'raisa, and it's not mi'akev, that's beferish in the Mishnah, that min ha-mukaf is not mi'akev. So Tosfos is assuming that hafroshas trumas ha-maisris is a mitzvah, it's not just a matir. That's a big question, that's a big dispute. The Magen Avraham writes in Simen Ches, the Magen Avraham had a certain kasha, so in order to answer his kasha, he writes in the beginning of Hilchos Tzitzis, he assumes that Afroshes Trumas and Maisa, Afroshes Chala, he's talking about Chala, he assumes that Afroshes Trumas and Maisa and Chala is only a matir, to remove the Issa Tevel, but if you're not interested in eating it, let's say the farmer has too much produce, and if he's going to sell everything, he's going to knock, there's going to be too much supply and not enough demand, so he's going to knock all the prices down, so he doesn't want to do that. So he's going to dump tons and tons of tvua into the ocean. That's what the farmers do in America. They dump a lot of the stuff into the ocean to keep the prices higher. There should be less supply, so you have a right to charge more money. So are you mechuyev to be mafrish, trumas and maisis on the stuff that you don't plan to eat? You're not going to eat it anyway. So the Magen Avraham holds, no, it's not a mitzvah to be mafrish, trumas and maisis. If you want to eat it, you have to be mafrish. Once you mafrish it, then it's a mitzvah to give it to the Kohanim. That's matnas kun, to give it to the Kohanim, the truma, and to give to the Levim, the maiserishim. But there's no mitzvah to be mafrish. But Tosfos, obviously, and then on that, the Magen Avraham and Simen Ches, Rabbi Kiveyus writes look in the Taz and Yeridei Simen Aleph, the Taz holds not. So the Taz writes Beferish that it's a mitzvah to be mafresh from the mice, even if you're not interested in eating it. The Marsham has a sefer on Yeridei that's called Das Torah. So he always, Marsham was a big bucky in Shas. So he, on the Taz and Simen Aleph, he gives you a long, lot of marmikoimus, different gemaras with Rashi and Tosfos. Who says like the Taz and who says like the Mogen Avraham? It's a major machlokes in the Rishon. So this whole idea that Tosfos holds that min amukaf, Tosfos holds like that Raivin, and this Pirush HaMiluchos like Raivin, that min amukaf is a lachatchila deraisa, but it's not miyakeh b'dieved. They're obviously assuming that hafroshos trumas and maisis is a mitzvah, and therefore try to have a lachatchila deraisa. It could be, maybe that's why Rashi didn't say like Tosfos. Rashi writes that Rashi there in Gittin Aflamin. Rashi assumes that mukaf is only a din midirabana. It could be that he held it can't be deraisa. How can it be deraisa if it's not miyakeh b'dieved? Maybe Rashi thought like the Magen Avraham that hafroshos trumas and maisis is only a matir. It's not a mitzvah. Well, the same psukim that talk about hafrasha. The question is whether the psukim mean if you're interested in eating it, then you better be mafresh it. Or do you say no? It's a mitzvah to be mafresh even if you're not interested in eating it. Any parish that grew in Eretz Yisrael, the farm has a mitzvah to be mafresh even if it's not interested in eating it. Machlekes, how do you read the psukim? B'shem Hagro, the Talmid Hagro said that Vilna Goen took a compromise position over here. He held that challah is a mitzvah and hafrosh trumas maisis is only a matir. The earlier poskim didn't distinguish between the two. In the Vilna Gaon, they say the Gro distinguished based on psukim in Yecheskel. Based on psukim in Chumash, you can't see any difference. Based on psukim in Yecheskel, he felt that there was a difference, that challah is a mitzvah and hafrosh trumas maisis is a matir. But the Magen Avraham says it beferish on challah. That's again, Magen Avraham says that challah is only a matir, it's not a mitzvah.
Rashi in a few places says that Min
HaMukav
doesn't
even have to actually be connected, which means it has to be nearby. But if you say it's
in the
right, it has to be Mamash Mimenu, or the Drasha, the Gears in the Sephrayim,
then it's
Min HaMukav. The Chubar.
That would seem not like, you can't
just
say it has to be nearby,
right? No, the Gemara has a long discussion in the middle of Saita, the middle Perek in Saita, right before Elan Amar, about Tumah, the Gemara quotes Mishnah, said that sometimes Mukav means Mamish touching. Sometimes it means mamish touching, sometimes it doesn't. It depends. If it's a tummy and a tohar, part of this stuff is tummy, part is tohar, so you don't plan to mix the two together. So then that's not mukaf if they're sitting near each other. Then you have to have dafka, they should be touching each other. And if everything is tohar, and ultimately you may mix everything in together, so then it's called minamukaf, even if it's not touching. There's a famous Bir Agro in Shin Chav Dalet, I think. Bir Agro in Yeridei, Hilchas Chala. Long paragraph. Usually the Vilna Gaon just gives Marmikaimus. The Bir Agro in Shulchan Aruch was put together. He had different notebooks, so they put together from all the different notebooks. So two notebooks were just Marmikaimus. And the third notebook was where he wrote his original Chidushim. So they always will identify. If it's from the third notebook, they'll write in the beginning Likut and write at the end Atkan. So it's only in the Likut when he gives his original opinion. Usually the Bir Agro just gives Marmikaimus, doesn't necessarily mean that he agrees with it, says in Shulchan Aruch. You can't prove in the Bir Agro that he agrees. You can only prove if you have in the Likut from the third notebook. So there's a long paragraph there in Shin Chav Dalet where he writes about the din of Mukaf by Hafrosh Haschala. He writes, Bidin Zen Nistapchu Kamoi. All of the Rishonim got caught over here. They fell into a trap. They couldn't figure out what's going on. And I'm going to explain to you what's going on. So he says, there's a Yerushalmi and there's a Tosefta, and he quotes all the sources. So he says that it's called Mukaf if all the stuff is in the same room. It doesn't even have to be near each other. One thing is over here, one bushel. Not a bushel. Some of the stuff is sitting on the floor here. Some of the stuff is sitting over there. If it's in the same room, that's called minamuka. But if it's in two different kalim and two different bushels, then it's not enough if they're in the same room. The two bushels have to be touching each other. And even if the bushels are touching, but they're closed on top, then it's not called mukaf. So that's his opinion. So he quotes a lot of marvakaimis to insist that this is so. I don't know. Could be. I don't know. We just had the Gemara in Hele Metzias. The Gemara comments on the word came to Rima Gam Atem. Who is Gam? Gam the Rabbis is Hashaliach. That this is one of the sources for the principle of Shlucha Shaladin Kamaisa. The farmer doesn't necessarily have to be Mafresh the Chumas and Maisis on his own. He can appoint a Shliach. Shlucha Shaladin Kamaisa. So the Gemara says, maybe we should, can we use this pasuk came to Rima Gam? Gam the Rabbis is Hashaliach. Can this pasuk serve as the source for the institution of shlichas by Mekir HaMemka? Let's say a person wants to sell his house. So he appoints a real estate agent as a shaliach. Please sell the house, get me a good price for the house. Can you learn from here? So Gemara says, no. That since truma is chal b'machshov, that's also a pasuk. And echshal lachem trumaschem. The pasuk says, when the levi is mafrish, the maiser min ha-maiser, so the Trumas Maisa, Maisa Mana Maisa, has the exact same status like Truma Gedola. We said the Mishnah Milah says there are four things that have the same shame Truma. Shame Echad is the Truma Gedola, Maisa Mana Maisa, which is otherwise known as Trumas Maisa, Chal and Bikurim. So that's how the Pasuk reads, Pasuk Chazayim. And actually, Lachem Trumaschem, your Trumas Maisa is considered just like Kadogan Min Agar Mecham Lehem and Ereke. It's treated exactly like Truma Gedola. So that's the Pshuto Shal Mikro. So the Tanoim have an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara quotes this from Abeloza ben Gamla, Atana, and it's in the Sifrei, that Brisa that the Gemara quotes in Gittin, Aflamed, and other Mesichtes, comes from the Sifrei in this Pasuk. But Nechshav has an additional level of interpretation, that Truman, he tells us, b'machshava. Even if he didn't, I didn't pick up the bushel, and I didn't say anything, I didn't say Hereza Truma. And really, Hafrashas Truma belongs to the category of things that is Hafloa. Aflo means the things that Achal, the Ramam has 14 Svarim, the Yarach HaZok, and Yud Dalit Svarim, Ma'ad Ahab is Manim, so one of the Svarim is Aflo. So Aflo means Lefale Nedera Nidavu, what even Aflo, Rashi says, Parlei Balaz, to speak. Aflo means, what is Chala Yedei Dibor? So you say, Nedera Shvua, Hegdish, Naziris, Erchen Haramin, all of this is Aflo. And also Hafrashas Truma is Aflo, so you can have Hataras Nedarim. And a neder ishwe can have atars and dorim on truma, hafrashas truma. In the mufala samach liish, the Mishnah has a machlekes satanayim. The year before bar mitzvah, the year before bas mitzvah, by a boy, by a girl. So nedor of nevdokim, if he knows what he's talking about, his neder is binding. That's mufala samach liish. That din is a machlekes satanayim. It's shaila how we should paskin, but it's usually assumed that mufala samach liish, the year before bar mitzvah, can also be mafresh truma. Because truma belongs to that category of things that are chal ayidei dibur, that's called haflah. So you really should have required amira, because the pasuk says nefesh kis yishava levate bisvasayim. And parshas vayikra, chumash vayikra, levate bisvasayim means that a shvuah is not chal b'machshava. You have to pronounce it with your lips. Amashmol gama beliboy tzoch lahotzi bisvasa. That's in shvuah davchavolim. The shmol says a person made up his mind, a neder, a shvuah, it's not binding until he pronounces it with his lips. So truma is an exception to the rule. V'nechshu lachem trumaschem, that's an additional level of interpretation. Pashim pshat medechshu means the trumas meiser is considered the same status as truma gedola. This is an additional drasha of the Torah Shabbat Peda. Truma is chal b'machshove. Truma is chal b'machshove. You don't have to pronounce anything with your lips and you don't have to pick up the thing. You just look at it. You don't have to look at it either. Have in mind, I have 100 bushels. The first bushel that you have to have kviyas makam, you have to know where is the truma. Where is the truma's maisa? You have to be kaveh makam. But if you have it all in mind, that's a chiddush. So the Gemara asks, why not learn out from here that all in yoni haflo achal ayidei machshava? So the Gemara says, no, there's shnei ksuvim haboin keechad. If you have two exceptions to the rule, this is mechazik the rule. Truma is chal b'machshava, and the pasuk in Devarim says, "Kol nediv leibay l'seviv." Pasuk that he said yesterday, that korbanos oil, if you mekabel, if you menadev beliba, a person takes a neder in his heart to bring a korban oil, so it's binding. So the Gemara says in Kiddushin, those are the two exceptions to the rule. So the Gemara says the pasuk gam atem gam l'rabbis as hashaliach. So that shows that there is an institution of shlichus shluchus shlam kemoisai. So maybe we should learn that from here, that a person can make a shliach to sell his real estate, to buy real estate for him. So Gemara says, no, it's not a good market, because truma is chal b'machshava. So maybe when I make a shliach, and the shliach is mafresh the truma for me, maybe that's the only case in Kol HaTorah Kula. You can't learn that from me. Maybe this is only here, truma is chal b'machshava. Since truma is chal b'machshava, so whenever I point to shliach and shliach does it, that's like truma chal b'machshava. I have in mind, whatever the shliach is going to separate, whatever he's going to designate, should become truma. Maybe that's a b'china of Tshuma Chal v'machshava, but by Mekach and Memka, we need a real kinyan. Maybe the institution of Shlichas doesn't work. So the Gemara says, this Mokar is not sufficient. You need other psukim. But after you have all the other psukim, then we say, this pasuk also means, Gam Atem, Gam the Rabbis is HaShaliach. The Sifrei has a comment on the pasuk we mentioned earlier. The farmer has to take out 10% and give it to the Levi. That's a big machlekes in Pesus, Taka, and Aflamed in Gittin. 10% of what? Your mafrish 2% or Tshumah Gedolah, so you left with 98%. So your mafrish 10% of the 98%, so you really give 9.8. Or you say no. Since theoretically he could have given chitachas, but teres kolak, he could have given a mashu. Mashu doesn't affect the change in the volume of all the other stuff. So since if you wanted to, you could have given a mashu, so you have to give the levy 10% of everything. That's a major machlekes in Tosfos. Because Maisusheni, you don't give 10% of the whole volume. You give 10% of what's left after having taken out Maisarishon. So maybe you should only give, maybe you have to give 10% for Maisarishon of what's left after you took out your Tshuma Gedolah. The din is the Abmida Beinonis is to give 2%. If a guy wants to give 98%, it's also good. Maybe give 98% as Truma Gedoyla, Lord Bichal. 98. You can't give 100%. That's always called Garna Truma Layasa Velaklum. You need Rashi Sheshi around the Nikar. You have to have Shirayim. But let's say he'll give 98% as Truma Gedoyla, so it's Chal. He only has left 2%. So he'll be Mafrish 10% of the 2% and give it to the lady. Is that what it means? Or you say, no, you're not allowed to give 98% as Truma Gedoyla. You're supposed to give 10% of everything as Maisa Rishon. Because chitachas pteres kol kri, so those are the two opinions in Tosfos. Because Maisa Sheni only give 10% of what's left after having taken out Maisa Rishon. That's a Beferish and Mishnah. So the 2 days, what about Maisa Rishon? Is it 10% of what's left after having taken out Truma Gedoyla? Well, no, 10% of all, because you could have given Truma Gedoyla, it could have been a mashu, chitachas. So the pasuk says like this, normally, the farmer gives 10% as Maisa Rishon to the Levi. The Levi takes 10% of the 10%. He designates it as Maisa Mena Maisa. So that's 1%. 10% of 10% is 1% of everything is Maisa Mena Maisa. So the pasuk says, Es Migdashoy Mimenu. You should take out the Maisa Mena Maisa. Es Migdashoy Mimenu. The holy part you should take out. So the Tanoim have a drosha in the Sifrei. On this pasuk, Tosfos and Nida proves in the sugya Nida that it's only an asmachta of the Rabbanan. Tosfos says a few places in Shas that many drushes in the Sifrei are only asmachtas of the Rabbanan. They're not all drushes gemuras deraisa. That's why let's say mukaf. So it's hard to tell whether it's a din deraisa din de Rabbanan. You have a drusha in the Sifrei. So Rashi holds that it's an asmachta, and Tosfos holds that it's for real. So here the Sifrei has a comment as migdusha mimenu. If the 1% which is Maisa and Maisa will fall back into all the Chulin, so it'll Asa everything, because Truma has a different din. It's unique. It's not bottled Beroiv, it's not bottled B'Shishim, it's only bottled B'Echud Emeya. Because if you take out 1/10 of the Maisa Rishon, the Maisa Rishon was 1/10 of everything, so it means that the Maisa and Maisa is 1%, it's 1/100. So if it falls back in, so you only have 99 units to 1. So 99 to 1 is not enough to be Mevatla Truma, the Maisa Mena Maisa, the Truma Gedoyla. You have to have more than that. So how much more do you need? So the Tanoim said, so there's a Machlekes HaTanoim. So one Tana says you need a little more than 99 to 1. If you have 99.1 against 1, then it's Batal. We don't pass like that. You need Echor Emeya. You need 100 units to 1. Truma is only Batal, the Echor Emeya. One unit of Truma falls into 100 units of Chulam Mesukanin, so then Truma is bottled by Echor Emeya. So that, Tosfos and Nida shows from the Gemara, Tosfos and a few Mesistas refers to that Gemara. You see from the Gemara that that's only an Asmachta Mirabana, that's not a Din Menater. The Truma is different, it's Mochamer from all the other Resurim that you can't be Mevatalit, but Pachas Mimeya. And then the Sifrei continues to say that Truma is only also Bachila, but Muta Bahanoa. There's a Mishnah and the Gemara in Pesachim in the beginning of the second parak has a long discussion, a few Dafim Gemara. Which Macholas Asuras are Mutabana, which are Rasabana? So the Gemara proves from Mishnah, is that true Megadar, there's Mutabana, it's only Rasabachilu to a Zar, to an Ankoin, but it's Mutabana. So the Gemara says, if true Megadarilu is only Rasabachilu Mutabana to a Zar, and you need Meyo, so it should follow that Orlo, Kloya Kerem, because Kof Ali Sura, because it has a double Isa, not only is it Rasabachilu, it's Rasabana, Orlo, Kerem, so it should be Kof Ali Yosa. Ali Yosa means the Bittl. So the Sheh Bittl should be twice as much as Truma Gedoyla, so you should need Masayim. So that's the Mishnah, is that you need Masayim to be Mevatl Orlo Kloi HaKerem. So if Taisus proves from the Gemara that the whole din of Meyo is only with the Rabban, so the whole din of Masayim is of course only with the Rabban. The whole thing is only with the Rabban. That's a kasha that the Prima Godim is bothered with. The Gemara has a machlek, is Msochem Daf Lamed, whether Chomitz B'Pesach is B'mashuhu or not B'mashuhu. So we know we all paskin chomis but pesach is b'mashu. Taisus on the daf quotes Rabbi Natan paskins like the shiltas. The chomis but pesach is bottle b'shishim. It's not b'mashu. He doesn't hold in the din of mashu. But we don't follow the Rabbi Natan. In rare cases, in rare instances, the mafarshim on the shulchan I'll say if you have others datum lahakol saying mitzarf the Rabbi Natan with the shiltas also, then maybe sometimes chomis if you have more chomis hefsid meruba but others datum lahakol, so there's room to be makel that it's bottle b'shishim. So the Prima Godim is bonded with Akasha. How can it be Batal B'shishim? But since it's also Bahanoa, so it should be the same as Orla Klar Kerem, since Kofal Isuro, Kofal Aliyosa, since it's twice as Chomer as Truma Gedoyla. Truma Gedoyla is B'meya, so Chomer should be B'masayim. How come nobody says Chomer is B'masayim? The Machlekes in the Gemara is that whether it's B'mashu or it's Batal B'shishim. They're both wrong. It should be B'masayim. It should be the same thing as Orla Klar Kerem. So there is a Sefer Torah Habayis by the Rashba. The whole Chel Gal of Yerideya is based on the Torah Habayis Lahar Rashba. We once, I think when we had the first Bar Mitzvah here, we have three sons, and my first son was Bar Mitzvah, so one of our nephews came to spend Shabbos to celebrate the Bar Mitzvah. So Rabbi Lipschitz was here, so he asked my nephew, what are you learning? He says he's learning Chulin. He was learning Torah with us. He says he's learning Chulin. He says, oh, with the Torah Habayis. So he said, no. So he said, then you're not learning Chulin. So he didn't know what he was talking about. So around 10 years went by, and then he learned Chulin again with the Torah Habayis. Wow! So he saw that's a different Masechta. The Torah Habayis, Lahar Rashba, opens everything up. He quotes all Rashi, Taisus, the Ramban, he quotes all the Shitas. And the whole Yerideya Chel Gal of everything, every Chelik of Yerideya, every section of Yerideya, is based on a different region. The Chel Gal of Yerideya is all straight from the Torah Habayis. He doesn't always pass like the Rashban and the Torah Habayis, but the whole setup is based on the Torah Habayis. So the Rabbaran Alevi was also a Talmud of the Ramban. The Rashba was a Talmud of the Ramban. The Ra'or was a contemporary of his. So the Ra'or wrote better Habayis. He's fixing up the mistakes in the Rashba's Torah Habayis. Then the Rashba wrote the Mishmeres Habayis to defend his position, what he wrote. The Rashba wrote the Mishmeres Habayis as if it was someone else. It's written anonymously, as if he's a third person defending what it says in the Torah Habayis. But then they have Netshuvas HaRashba where he writes that he's the one who wrote the Mishmeres Habayis. So in the Berek Habayis, in one place, there's a line that Chomis B'Pesach is Beresh. So maybe a misprint, because there are a lot of misprints in the old edition. I have to look now, they have newer editions based on manuscripts. Maybe it's a misprint. But the way it says Beresh means B'Masai. Beresh is Masai. So maybe there was such a Shita. That Chomitz B'Pesach is B'Masayim. That was the Prima Godim's kasha. How come nobody says that Chomitz B'Pesach should be B'Masayim, should be the same as Orla and Klei HaKerem? Yeah, that's the question. Why does the Sifrei says that Orlan Klei HaKerem, since it's Kofal Isuro, it's double the Chumra of Truma, that's why Kofal Aliyos indeed Masayim. Let it be 120. Why'd they decide to double Meyo? Why'd they start off with Truma? There's something fishy over here. Why'd they start off? The standard is Truma needs Meyo. That itself is only with the Rabbanan. And since Orla Klei HaKerem is Kofal Isura, it's a double Isa, also even Banon, not just Bachila, so Kofal Aliyasa, you need a double Shia. Why do you start off with the assumption it should be Meir? It's start off with the assumption that it should be shishim. Kafal aliyas, it should be 120. So there must be something unique about truma and about oil and klal kerem that doesn't apply to chametz, that somehow there's a consideration over here why these are connected.
Yeah, so somebody trying to say that it's for chametz, it's for gavra, it's only also for this month. Maybe the other ones are us for chutzah.
Uh-huh. Okay, could be. Okay. I had a different suggestion. Okay, I had a different suggestion that based on your question. Why did they decide? Why is the standard truma? Why should you assume the standard should be shishim, like all treifas? You should kafal aliyasa, so say 120. So I had a different answer. Okay. You must have gone through it once before. The pasuk says that when you give the truma to the kohen, aninin satav lechem lemoshcha. What does it mean, lemoshcha? It's a funny lashon. So lemoshcha usually means that you use shemen ha-mishcha to do mishicha to the kohen gadol. Or the original kohanim were chosen. They all had mishicha b'shemen ha-mishcha. What's lemoshcha legdula kederach sham lochem oichlim? That's how the Gemara says. Lemoshcha legdula kederach sham lochem oichlim. When you give the truma to the kohen, not only on chatas and osham, which are karbonas, even plain old truma doesn't have to be eaten dafke in Azara. Doesn't have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Bikurim has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Regular truma can be eaten anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. Can eat truma chutz lorz because of tumas Eretz Amim, because chutz lorz has a din tuma like a cemetery. Because in the Meisei Mabul, the Mabul only had dead bodies all over chutz lorz. The Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. That's how the Gemara has a tradition. That the Mabul didn't affect Eretz Yisrael. So they were goes to Tumah, Eretz Amin, because of the Meisei Mabul, and in Eretz Yisrael there was no, the Mabul didn't affect them. So you can't eat Truma Chutz Lortz, okay. But you can eat Truma anywhere in Eretz Yisrael. So it's called when Lemoshcha Legdula, the Kohanim should eat Matnas Kuna in a Bekavadiga fashion. So that's, the Mordechai quotes a minig from the Rishonim when you do Pidyon HaBen. Every so often somebody, I didn't have a Pidyon HaBen. My sister's older than me, and my wife, the first baby we had was a girl. So most people never have a Pidyon HaBen. You have Kohanim Leviim, and you have different babies, and so on. So when you have a Pidyon HaBen, so some have the minig that the Kohen sits and the father stands. To show that Moshe L'Gedul, as if the Kohen is the king, as if he's the Adam Chashuv, and the father stands in the presence of the king, and he gives him the money, the pinyon ha-ben money, in a bekavadika fashion. So the pashtus is when you eat the truma, when you eat all of these chatas and rosham, it should be eaten in a bekavadika fashion. The Gemara says they should eat it tzli bechardel. They should broil it like a steak, delicious steak, and they should dip it into chardel. It should be a tasty bekavadika feast that the kohanim should eat the chatas and the rosham. So the Mishnah Melech quotes that there's a discussion in Bali Atesis in different places. In the regular Atesis, you don't have it. You have it in Sheet Mukubetzis on Kochim, in the Atesis Yishanim, you have it on Yuma. The Kohanim have to eat the Chattas and the Oshim in the Azor. And the rule is, Ein Yeshiva Bar Azor, Ela Le Malchei Beis David Belvad. Only a Melech from the Malchei Beis David is allowed to sit. Anybody else, even in Kohen Gadol, has to stand. So what kind of Lemoshcha L'Gdula is that? They have to eat the steaks in a standing position. The Gemara says, that's not normal. The Gemara says, it's unhealthy to eat your food standing. You have to sit down and eat in a bekavadika fashion. So there are two opinions in Tosfos and different Masechtos. When the Kohanim ate the Chatas and the Oshim, the Kochi Kochim, have to be eaten in the Azor, Zichri Kuna. Eating the Kochi Kodoshim is like an Avodah. That's why it's only Zichri Kuna. A Bas Kohen is a Kohenis for the purpose of eating Truma Gedolah, but not for the purpose of eating Chatas and Oshim. Mishnah says in his Amakayman that the Chatzin Sashim is Dachal Lizichir Kuna, Yom Alay Lo'ad Chatzin. Only the male Kohanim can eat it in the Azor, because it's like an Avodah. Kohanim Oichlam, Abaylam Miskaprim. Achila is like Achilas Mizbeach. So the question is, if they're supposed to eat it, Lamoshcha L'Gedulah, so maybe they're allowed to sit. Maybe the din Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azorah, there's a question, there's a steer in two Rashis and Shas, whether the din of Ein Yeshiva Ba'Azorah, you're not allowed to sit down in the Azor, is that an Issa Daraisa? Halacha l'moshe misina, there's no posuk, it's not only an Issa derabbanan to begin with. So that's a steer in two Rashis and Shas. But whether it's the Issa derabbanan doesn't make too much of a difference here. The Shas is maybe the Kohanim are permitted to sit in the Azar when they eat the Chatas and the Ashim, because otherwise how are they going to be able to fulfill the Mashkel Gedula? It can't take it out of the Azar. It'll be Nifsel B'Yotze. They have to eat in the Azar. They have no choice. So maybe since that's Mitzvah Sebekach, maybe they have to sit down. Otherwise they won't fulfill the Mitzvah. So that's two opinions of Taisus. One opinion is no, the Kohanim eat the Chatas and the Ashim in a standing position. The other opinion is no, they won't be fulfilling the Mitzvah properly. Mashkel Gedula, Kedach Sham Locham Ochlem, like kings eat it, has to be yeshiva. Rabbi Yosef Engel was a super genius. He died 100 years ago. So he was the rabbi in Krakow. The end of his life, he was the rabbi in Krakow. So he, one of his several svarim is the Asven Deraisa. Osias HaTorah. Osias HaTorah. How many letters are there in the Aleph Beis? 22. 22 letters, Ma'alef to Tav. So he has 22 essays. That's why he calls it Sefer Asven Deraisa. Can I get the 22 letters? So, but after Siman Yud, he doesn't go to Siman Chof Lam, he goes to Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. But he called it Asven Deraisa, because he has 22 essays, and there are 22 letters, Malaf Tatav. So he has in Siman Aleph and Asven Deraisa, he was a super genius. So he shows there's a Taisus in Yuma, I think. The Taisus says there are certain areas, Lishkas Abnuyas Machol Psuchas Lakodesh, there are certain areas. The Azor was a certain rectangular shape. And then they built Lishkas on the border. They built rooms on the border. Part of the room was in the Azor, part of the room was out of the Azor. Sometimes there would only be one opening from the inside, sometimes only one opening from the outside. Sometimes there would be two openings. So if you have a room that Bonei Bachol, the room is not in the Azor, but the only opening to the room is going through the Azor into this room. Lishkas Hamanuyas Bachol Psuchas Lakodesh, the Mishnah is talking about that. So there's a Taisus in Yuma, proves from the Gemara that there's no Issa Yeshiva, you can eat Kochik Kodashim there, and there's no Issa Yeshiva Bazar. So he says, so there you have the solution to the problem. So what's the whole Machlekes? The Taisus had, the Mishlah Melech quotes, Taisus had two opinions. Whether the Kohanim who eat the Chatas and the Oshim, are they allowed to sit in the Azorah? Because otherwise it won't be the Mashcha L'Gedula. Or should you say, no, that's the Halacha, they have to stand. What's the problem? Let them eat in the Lishkas Abnuyas Bachol Psuchas LaKodesh, that the Mishnah says, you can eat Kachi Kachim there, and Taisus proves from the Gemara, there's no Issa Yeshiva. So you have the best of both worlds, that's his Taina. But the Rishonim had a whole hassle about this. They didn't come up with that solution. One of the many Matans Kuna is Pidyon HaBen. The Gemara says there are 24 Matans Kuna. There are more than 24 Matans Kuna. More than 24. So that's a big discussion in the Rishonim. Obviously, the Tanoim are combining several of them together. The Sifrei says 24. Choftal and Matans Kuna. The Gemara says 24. Obviously, they're combining a few together and counting them as one. So that's a big dispute. Which ones do you combine together, and how do you come up with the conclusion that they're 24? And we discussed it a little bit early in the year. What's the story with Maisa Behema? So the Rashi and Chumash at the end of B'chul Kaisai writes, Maisa Behema is not from the Matnas Kahuna. Your Mafresh Maisa Behema, and the farmer brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and he eats it himself. It's like a Shlomim. It's not from the Matnas Kahuna. And Rashi is in disagreement with the Goinim who preceded the Rishonim. The Goinim, some of the Goinim have the opinion that Maisa Behema is one of the Chaptal and Matnas Kahuna. When they're trying to calculate which are the Choftal Matzkun, so they're going to combine the whole bunch together, and then in order to make 24, so they listed separately Maisa Behena. Then the Netziv points out, Rashi said, does say anywhere that you give it to the Kohanim, so obviously it's not from the Matzkun. So where did the Goyim get it from? So the Netziv points out, there's a Beferish Pasuk in Devar HaYomim that says when they came back in the beginning of Baisheni, they were Mafrish Maisa Behena, and they gave it to the Kohanim. So what do you mean there's no Pasuk there? It's a Beferish Pasuk. That comes up with the suggestion that there's such a thing as a mitzvah sarshus. That sometimes he quotes from the Vilna Gaon that there's such a thing. He said, if you eat matzah, the first night of Pesach, matzah is a chayv, and the rest of Pesach, it's a rishus. What? How do you translate a rishus? Rishus means if you're hungry, eat matzah, but you're not allowed to eat chametz, but there's no mitzvah. And the quote from the Vilna Gaon, the Talmid Agra quote that the Vilna Gaon held, that it's a mitzvah kiyumis. So others deny, how can it be such a thing? A mitzvah means a commandment. How can it be a rishus? How can it be a mitzvah kiyumis? They deny there's such a concept. It doesn't exist. So the Netziv first quotes from the Vilna Gaon. He assumes that tradition is correct, that the Vilna Gaon did say it, that matzah shayimos ha-pesach is a mitzvah kiyumis. And then he thinks that there are more mitzvah kiyumah. So he says, maybe that pasuk in Divrei Hayomim that says that they gave the Maaser behemoth to the Kohanim, Rashi claims that you don't have to give it, it's not from the Matnas Kahuna. So he said, but Rashi has to agree, it's at least agree that it's a mitzvah kiyumah. So if you do give it, stam, if I buy a svarim from the svarim sale and I give one of the svarim to a kohen, that's not a mitzvah kiyumah, there's nothing. A nice guy, okay, a nice thing.
Don't the Pesukim over there in Divrei Hayomim say they did a lot of things that aren't really... It says they brought their Bechorim, their firstborn sons there to be Kodem in Yerushalayim. And the Gemara also, but when they brought the son of the Gemara, again, but in Nechanya, they brought all these Rabbanos, and the Gemara, I mean, Mi'ila asks how they, you know, they try to figure out what they're Kenega, and then it has to end, and says has to say it was all the Rosh Hashanah, because they can't find the numbers for all of it, for all the random Rabbanos they brought.
Uh-huh.
So there's a lot of things when they start thinking these that weren't real deals, but just as a...
Could be. I don't know. Could be.
The Ramban in our parrot on the Palom is that even though Zakin Shalat ain't all the Tichoda, there's no Chiyu, since there's still a Chiyu, he seems to say it's still a Chiyu, it's still kind of a low sauce,
The Gemara said, "Lefnim Mishur Asadin." As Zalkan Beilim Fiich Bar, if he wants to give it back,
so he
Okay. So there is such a thing. Yishang, there is such a thing as a mitzvah kiyumis.
Doesn't Rashi say in the Pusai that I recorded that the reason why he says there's no mitzvah is because he says there's no makor?
No makor, okay, yeah.
So why would he want it to mitzvah sarashas? There's
no makor
for that mitzvah
sarashas.
It doesn't
go to mitzvah. It's not makor and chumash, but here you see in the Rayama that they did it. So he says maybe it's a hayra asha. The Gemara says some of the things about hayra asha. I don't know.
Then it brings a makor that it would be a mitzvah
sarashas? Just that pasuk in the Rayama. He thinks that pasuk is the makor, that it's a mitzvah sarashas.
Do you need a real makor and chumash to have a mitzvah sarashas?
You ought to. So you have to figure out where the drasha is. Where is that pasuk and chumash? I don't remember if he works on that. That's the last nitziv on Bechukaisai. Has a long footnote there. Among the various matnas kuna is pidyon haben. So pidyon haben levduim ben chodesh tifta. When exactly do you do? When is ben chodesh? Do we have a month of 29 days? We have a month of 30 days. So when exactly do you do the pidyon haben? The baby has to be a month old. So a month old means on Yom Lamed, 29 days is a month. Or do you say no, Yom Lamed Aleph, because 30 days is a month. So that's a machloekes satanoim. When do you do pidyon haben? Yom Lamed Aleph. We're passing Yom Lamed Aleph. But in Shulchan Aruch, the Shach quotes that one of the Rishonim has this opinion. It's not really Yom Lamed, it's not really Yom Lamed Aleph. It's neither of the both. That's the Machlekes HaTanoim in the Mishnah Mechares. So the Shach quotes one of the Rishonim has an exotic opinion that the average difference between one boiled halvan and the other it's never the same. It depends on the pull of gravity, what season of the year is, how close the earth is to the sun, how far away it is. It has to do with pull of gravity. I don't know physics for this. But the average difference between one moilid and the other, when they announce when the moilid will be, that's not really accurate. That's the average. It's choftes yom yud beishos and tash tzag chalokim. That's how they calculate. It's 12 days and 29 days and 12 hours and tash shin tzadigim chalokim. A chelik is what? 1/18th of an hour.
1/18th of a minute.
An 18th of a minute. Is a chelik. So how much is Tavshin Sadi Gimel? Tavshin is 793. We'll call it seconds. 1/18th of a minute. Seconds. So one of the Rishonim says that when the Mishnah paskins that Yom Lamed Aleph, it doesn't really mean Yom Lamed Aleph. Sometimes Yom Lamed, sometimes Yom Lamed Aleph. You have to wait till after Cheftas Yom Yud Beishos Tashtag Chalok. So sometimes if the baby is born, let's say in the summertime, late in the day, Shkia is now what time? 8:15. After 8:15, the baby is born 8:10. A lot of times, you have to find out when exactly was the baby born. Let's say a baby is born on Shabbos, so the bris is dechah Shabbos. Just because the nurses wrote down the baby was born at 8:10, it doesn't necessarily mean that the baby was born at 8:10. Or just because they wrote down the baby was born at 9:30, it could be that till they washed their hands, until they wrote it down, they looked on the clock, said 9:30. Could be baby was born at 8:10, but they didn't write it down until to them it's not negir, but to us it's very relevant. So in order to know whether the when you do the Milah Bizmana, whether the Milah Bizmana is Derech HaShabbos, or even not to forget about Derech HaShabbos, when the Milah Bizmana is, you got to find out exactly when was the baby born. The baby was born 9 in the morning. So if they wrote down this, so the mother will remember that it wasn't around Shkia time. But if the baby was born close to the Shkia, before or after, then you have to do a Drishu HaKira to make sure exactly when the baby was born. So that's the Shaila. How do you calculate when you do the Pidyon HaBen? So let's say if the baby was born at 8:10 in the evening, 5 minutes before the Shkia, so even if you'll wait till the Yom Lamed Aleph, it won't necessarily be Choftes Yom Yud Beishuas Tash Tzak Chalokim. Sometimes you have to wait into the Yom Lamed Aleph, because this is the Yom Rishon, it was only 5 minutes. Then you have 29 full days in between. And then you have, when it comes the 31st day, the 29 days will be full. The first day was only 5 minutes before the Shkia. And then the 31st day begins at 8 o'clock in the evening, and the sun rises at 5:30 in the morning, before 5:30. It's earlier than 5:30. So that's less than 12 hours. So sometimes you do the Pinyan Advent on the Yom Lamed Aleph, it's still not the right time. So some are machmer that you should wait to the Yom Lamed Aleph, to the Chavtas Yom Yud Beisos Tash Tzak Chalom. L'chatchila like that. The Iker Adim, we really don't pass like that. The Iker Adim, we pass in Yom Lamed Aleph and Fartik. There is a minig in Shulchan Aruch that you do the Pidyon HaBen by Yom Lamed Aleph, as opposed to Leil Lamed Aleph. So different suggestions are given. What is that based on? The Netziv in his Tshuvas claims, he claims he has a right from the Gemara, that Bizmana Gemara, the practice was that they used to do Pidyon HaBen Leil Lamed Aleph. They didn't wait till Yom Lamed Aleph. This is a later minig. That's what the Netziv claims. Okay. So what is the reason for this minig? So different suggestions. So some say the reason why you wait till the daytime is to see to it that you have a better chance of having satisfying that opinion. If you wait till the morning of Yom Lamed Aleph, and sometimes a little bit into the day, so then you'll have Chavtas Yom Yud Beishois Tash Tzak Chalokim. Remember, we once attended a Pidyon HaBen, I think it was Chalamoid Pesach. So they had a Pidyon HaBen in a restaurant. And then everybody washed, and then they asked me to say Advar Torah before the Pidyon HaBen, so I was about to finish. So the father whispered, I should filibuster, I should talk another 10 minutes, because it's not yet Chavtas Yom Yud Beishois Tashtak Halakim. I say another Advar Torah. Yeah. That boy's going to come to the yeshiva next year, I think. Yeah.
According to the Shach, what would happen if you travel? So the kid's born in America and you travel extra.
Mm-hmm.
You have to wait till, say, he's born at 11 at night.
I think that opinion, Rishonim holds, you have to figure out on this baby when is his Yechav Tes Yom Yud Beishois Tash Tzak Halakim. Okay, that's right. Right.
So what happens if you did the Pidyon too early? So what would be the issue?
If you do the Pidyon Toch Lamed Yom, so the Gemara says, if the coin spent the money already, then it's a machloikis if you yotze, and we pass can you not yotze. But if he didn't spend the money, and he still has the cash that you gave him, hapoides beno toch lamed yom, he still has the money, so then the beno will be podi. But all the poskim assume that it's not proper to say a bracha. If you make the pidyon HaBen toch, let's say the yom lamed aleph turns out to be Shabbos. Yom Lamed Aleph turns out to be Shabbos. It's always 2 days later. So let's say the baby was born on a Thursday, so the Pidyon HaBen is going to be on a Friday, on a Shabbos. So we don't do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos. That's the Marik came up with. I think it's the Marik came up with that Chiddush, and he gives two reasons. Both of the reasons are very questionable. So that's what the Achranim say. The Marik was Mechadish this din. You're not allowed to do Pidyon HaBen on Shabbos, even though it's not really such a strong reason. So they say, maybe you should do Pinyon HaBen on Erev Shabbos. So he says, no, Marik says he can't say a bracha, so you have to wait till after Shabbos. So you wait till after Shabbos, one day they do it. So the meaning is, you don't do Pinyon HaBen Balayla, but over here you should have done Pinyon HaBen Bayom. This is, you don't do Balayla, you don't do Leil Lamed Aleph. Here it's Leil Lamed Beis already. So this is a machloikis. I think the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch Nechai Yodam, when the Pinyon HaBen falls out on Shabbos. 1/7 of the time, the Pidyon HaBen. There aren't so many babies that have Pidyon HaBen. But 1 out of every 7 babies is born on a Thursday. The Pidyon HaBen should really be on a Shabbos. So here for the Poskim say, they recommend you should do Pidyon HaBen Leil Matzoi Shabbos. And here for the Poskim recommend you should do it on Sunday morning. I remember a cousin of mine had a baby was born on Thursday, and Pinyan Ben should have been on Shabbos, so they waited till Sunday, late in the afternoon. So the minhag always is that you do Pinyan Ben right before the evening. So that's not right. So you already postponed the Pinyan Ben, so you wait till 8 o'clock, you wait till a quarter to 8 till you start doing the Pinyan Ben. That for sure is not right. If you want to do Pinyan Ben on Sunday, do it Sunday early in the morning. You shouldn't wait so long.
Later,
you do say bracha. If it's earlier, toch shloshim yom, the Marik says you don't say bracha. But if you do later, you do say bracha. In bris milah, there's a difference between a milah bismana and milah shaloi bismana. Milah bismana is derech Shabbos. Milah shaloi bismana is not derech Shabbos. Means a milah bismana is the mitzvah bishlei musa. It's not just reason makdim le mitzvahs. On the yom hashmini, the Gemara says you should do the bris earlier rather than later, because reason makdim le mitzvahs. But to do the milah on the eighth day as opposed to the ninth day, that's more than zviz magdin a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah b'shlei musa. So that's a big machlekes rishonim and achreinim. What about pinyan aben? Pinyan aben bizmana as opposed to pinyan aben shaloi bizmana. Is it the mitzvah b'shlei musa? Is pinyan aben bizmanoi and shaloi bizmanoi is a tashlumen like milah shaloi bizmana? The rishonim is a loshan and it's tashlumen. It means it's not bizmana. Or they say no. Pinyan aben on the yom lamed aleph is a zviz magdin a mitzvah. If you wait to yom lamed beis, you're not really lacking anything in the Kiyum HaMitzvah. It's just that there's reasons to do it on the same day. So that's a big machlokes. So some of the Gaonim, some of the early Rishonim quoted from the Gaonim, a funny opinion, that when the Torah says you give five sloim for Pinyan Aben, that's only for doing the Pinyan Aben on the Yom Lamed Aleph. And if you postpone to the Yom Lamed Beis, then you have to be Moisif Chaimish. Then you have to give what's Chaimish is 25%. So what's 25% of five sloim? Another cell and a quarter. So the Ramban in the Hilchas Pidyan Aben, Amcharis, is not happy with that. But he's quoting this. This was an opinion from the Goyim, from the early Rishonim. They had such a Shita. The Shita lo no de lemian. Kiddushin quotes that also. So they clearly hold that there's a difference between, just like Mila Bizmana, Mila Shalai Bizmana. So they hold there's a difference between Pidyan Aben Bizmana as opposed to Pidyan Aben Shalai Bizmana. Most assume that it's not so. The Rosh Hashanah talks about that. Whether there's any Hidur, Pidyan Aben Bizmana, is it a different Chalashem, or is it merely Zriz Magdim?
Before the Maharit, they would do Pidyan Aben Shabbos?
We don't have any sources. The first one we spoke about was the Marik, and the both reasons that he gives are Shvach, very, very questionable reasons. So one of the Gedolim, the Beis Aharon, Charles Shua's Beis Aharon, Rabbi Wolkin was the Rav in Pinsk before the war. So he writes that this is the Marik came up with this Chiddush. He thinks that before the Marik was pretty early, but he thinks the Marik came up with this Chiddush. Marik lived in Italy, I think. He claims that it's a Kenyan, yeah. You're selling the baby. What do you mean selling the baby? What, the baby belongs to the Kohen? You're selling the baby, buying the baby. Rachman Lutzan, you have to give Pinyan Aben even if the baby died. Let's say the baby died after Lamed Yom. Still have to give Pinyan Aben. It's a mitzvah to give money. You're not paid to the baby. The baby is Mutabah Noah before and after. Nothing changes on the baby. You're not buying the baby, and if you want to give him to the Kohen, you're not Yotze. The Kohen says, which would you prefer? You want your baby, you want your money? So we say, I want the baby, and here's the money. So all the Achranim say, that's not a choice. Even if you say, I want my money, you keep the baby, you're not Yotze. Pinyan Aben is Achiv, it's a Matnas Kunim. So that, the Mishnah says in Beitzah, whenever there's a Choyvas, let's say I made challah, I made bread on Yontif, on Shabbos you can't do Lisha. I made bread on Yontif Echol Nefesh, so the Chiyuv Chala was Chala on Yontif, so you're allowed to be Mafresh Chala and give it to the Kohen. Whenever the Chiyuv Matnas Kuna was Chala on Shabbos and Yontif, then you're allowed to give it. So here the Chiyuv Pinyan Aben was Chala on Shabbos, the Yom Lamed Aleph is on Shabbos, you should be allowed to give it on Shabbos.
The money?
You can give Shavu Kesef. The Gemara says they gave Egel's other Pinyan B'ni, Tala's other Pinyan B'ni. You can give a Becha, you can give something else. Okay.
Some Achrayim,
yeah. They say you shouldn't get Hanah from the baby till after you do the Pinyan Aben. Right? The Maharil has like that, and the Sfarna has like that, but they all ask it's against the Gemara. The Gemara Beferish, at the end of the first Perakim Chorva says that the Pinyan Aben is not It's not really mata the baby bana. It's not opinion that removes any sahana. Yeah, there are many halachas that the Gemara has based on the psukim here. Rashi quotes another drasha from the Sifrei, Kol Tor Bebeischa Yochal Kodesh, that Beis Uishto, from this pasuk and today's sadru, we know that Eishes Koinu Zachelus Bechuma. Kol Tor Bebeischa Yochal Kodesh. So Rashi in Kiddushin, the Afyudam and Beis is bothered with Akasha. Why does the Gemara say that an Eishes Koinu Zachelus Bechuma based on a different pasuk, Koin Kik, the Nefesh, Kinyan Kaspo? Why doesn't the Gemara say the drasha that the Sifrei has? The Sifrei learns that Kol Tor Bebeischa. So Rashi answers, no, Beis Uishto is only after Nisuin. The Gemara is trying to explain, how do you know that Arusa Ochelus Men HaTorah? Arusa, Bas Yisola, Arusa Lekoin is permitted Men HaTorah to eat Truma, only Mid Rabban, she's not allowed to, for various reasons. The Rashi says, I need the two psukim, one for Nisua, one for Arusa. So then the Shaila is, after you have the pasuk for Arusa, Kinyan Kaspa, so now what do you need the pasuk Kol Tor Beveischa for? So that's what the Or Samech says now, Kol Tor Beveischa goes on Chazav Eshoik of Shlomim. Chazav Eshoik of Shlomim. So the Or Samech has a Yerushalmi that doesn't read straight, so he thinks what it's supposed to say in Yerushalmi is that Arusa Lekoyin Ein Ochelas B'Chazav Eshoik, that's a Din in our Torah. Amurim Hem Ke'etz B'Hem Elos Amurim Nacha Lekoyin L'Nishem L'Vnem L'Avdeyim. So Nishem Eishes Koyin eats a Chazav Eshoik only if she's in Esuah. She's in Arusa, she can eat Truma, but she can't eat Chazav Eshoik. The difference is between eating Chazav Eshoik and eating Truma. So the Yosamech has a Yerushalmi, he thinks that there's a Torah Sofer in Yerushalmi, and that's what it should say. There are many more Dino. Okay, good. So believe that a Sunday, we'll continue with Eila Metzias. 11:30. Shatai v'matzlachas.
Or look, I can't...
Nisrofim, right?
Or look.